Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we need to learn the halachas about Shabbos Torah reading. Although we learned the halachas of Torah reading in general when we looked at Simon Chof Dalet, the 24th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, today we're going to look in our 70th chapter in Ayin Ches, some of the halachas that pertain more specifically to Shabbos Torah reading as well. A little bit of background. On Shabbos, we bring out the Torah and we read Parashas HaShavua. This takana, this enactment, goes back all the way to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu of reading Torah on Shabbos. The way we do it today is we have seven aliyos. We break up the Parashas HaShavua into seven different sections, each one called an aliyah, an ascent. And on Yom Kippur, one does six aliyos, five on Yom Tov, four on Rosh Chodesh, and three on a regular weekday. There's always, the beginning is always Kohen, Levi, Israel, the priest, the Levite, and regular Israel. Then on Shabbos, you would follow with another four aliyos of Israel. Following the aliyos, a Chatzi Kaddish, a half Kaddish, is recited. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the last little section is reread, or a section relating to the specific day is read called Maftir, and that person also gets what's called the Haftarah, which is a section of Navi with its brachas before and after. We'll discuss in the next chapter some of those halachas. Let's jump straight into a few basic questions. Number of aliyahs. So look at seven basic questions here. Can we add on aliyahs? The answer is on Shabbos, one may add in what's called a Hosafa, an additional aliyah, but one may not do that on any other day. So one cannot, on a Yom Tov, if one has five aliyahs, one cannot add a Hosafa. Only on Shabbos, when one has completed the seven, one can add in another one, or subdivide one of the aliyahs into an extra aliyah. Can a Kohen or a Levi get the added aliyah, the Acharon? The answer is yes. What about Maftir? Yes as well. Can a Kohen get Acharon and another Kohen get Maftir? The answer is yes. So that's oftentimes happens when there's a Yom Simcha, and there's a number of people who are part of the Simcha, who may be Kohanim or Levim. What about on Simchas Torah? So on Simchas Torah, we bring out three Torahs. One we learn Vezayis HaBracha, one we learn Bereishis, and one we learn Maftir from. So the person who gets Chosan Torah and Chosan Bereishis and Maftir can all be Kohanim or Levim, and one after the other, because the regular learning of Yom Tov has been completed at that time. What about Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Teteves on Hanukkah? That's a three Sefer Torah experience. So what about that situation? So the way it usually works is the first six aliyahs are learned from the first Torah. That's from usually Parshas Miketz. Then the last aliyah is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and then there's the Maftir as well. So in this case, the Kohen cannot get an aliyah for the first Torah because that's still part of the laning of that Shabbos. It's still within the first six aliyahs. Even if one added all his stuff and there's more aliyahs, he can get from any Acharon or Maftir afterwards. What if the guy mistakenly called up a Kohen or a Levi in the middle of the call up? So let's say aliyah number five he gave on a Shabbos to a Kohen. In that case, the Kohen may not take the aliyah. He goes up, he waits by the side, and then he would get he would wait until he get the Acharon, so he's not being rejected, but he cannot take the aliyah in the middle as well. Let's look at the next topic, which is the breakdown of aliyahs. In our second concept, we're going to look at nine questions. So how does the aliyah work on a double parasha? Let's say I have two parashas together, Vayakel Pekudei, I have Tazria Metzora. How does it work? So in this case, the aliyahs are bridged, so usually the merge goes aliyah 1 and 2, to 3 and 4, and so on. But it is important to notice that the fourth aliyah of the parasha, of the double parasha, is one which is going to be a merger of the one parasha and the other. So it'll usually be the last aliyah of parasha A will be merged with the first aliyah of parasha B, and that'll be the fourth aliyah of the joint parasha. That's how it works with the double parasha laning. What are the places that one cannot stop in the middle of the laning for? So the Kitzur mentions three distinct places, although there are other places in the Torah, but the most famous ones are the curses that are found in Parshas Bechukos, the curses in Parshas Kisavai, and the Cheta Egel in Parshas Kisisa. Those are areas that cannot be broken up. He also points out that one is not allowed to break up the 42 encampments, which are the Membeis Masa Ois, the 42 times where the nation of Israel camped in the desert, which are read in the first aliyah of Parshas Masa, and that's because, as the Magen Avraham points out, they relate to the 42 words of Hashem's extended name, or letters of Hashem's long extended name, and therefore one cannot make a break in that. when can the aliyah begin or end? So it must be with, there must be a three pasuk barrier before or end, before or after punishment sections in the Torah. When does one change one's level of voice when laning? So when one laning an area of punishment, one lowers the voice. The Kobal Korea would lower their voice and do it faster, like a Bechokosa and Kisisa and Kisavoy. All those sections are done faster and lower. Obviously, it still needs to be heard and audible to the community. What should be done between the aliyahs? The Torah needs to be rolled between rolled closed. So let's say the person finishes aliyah, the person who gets aliyah kisses with the tzitzis, the end of the aliyah, says the bracha, and it needs to be closed really before the bracha is said as well. It doesn't need to be covered. So only if there's a long break between aliyahs. What constitutes a long break? So let's say before maftir, they're going to say Kaddish, or let's say a chassan's getting there his afrof, and there needs to be there's going to be singing, or let's say even a mishaberach. In those situations, one should cover the Torah. But if one's not, let's say it's a regular weekday, and one just calls up Kohen, and then one calls up Levi, and there's no interruptions between it, then the Torah can be left rolled closed, but does not need to be covered in between as well. What if we mistakenly read six aliyahs at the end and got to the end of the parasha? So we just forgot to stop between six and seven, just went to the end of the parasha. Now, usually, there's somebody who's awake in the shul will catch that. But let's say somebody didn't catch that in this case. What do we do? So in that case, you read the maftir as the seventh aliyah, and then do the avtara, and the chatzi kaddish would come afterwards. And similarly with yonta, the same thing. If let's say they read four aliyahs and they reach the end of the aleining, they would then use the maftir as the fifth aliyah, and then haftarah, and then chatzi kaddish after haftarah. What if it was a Shabbos which needed three sefer Torah and there are only two sefer Torah? So in that case, it's better to read from number one. After reading from it, roll it to the place of Torah number three, then pull out number two and read from it, and then pull out the first Torah again, which has just been rolled, and put it as the Torah for the third place as well. This way the number two remains as the number two, so you're not doing less changes. Now let's move into our third concept, mistakes. We discussed in the siman in the chapter 24 Chav Dalet a lot of the halachas, the mistakes when it comes to finding a mistake in the Sefer Torah. But a few ideas that relate to Shabbos. What happens if a mistake was found in the maftir on Shabbos? So it depends. If it was a special maftir, let's say as Rosh Chodesh or one of the four parashios, and a mistake is found in it, and then therefore it's a unique maftir, in that case one would treat it like finding a mistake in the Sefer Torah itself, and when depending on where one finds it, one would have to bring out a new Torah. However, if one finds it on a maftir of a regular week, one's just repeating the last three psukim of the parasha, then one would complete the maftir, not bring out a new Torah, and simply say no bracha afterwards as well. Why on a regular Shabbos is it different and we don't bring out a new Sefer Torah? The answer is because the maftir was instituted for the following reason. When we call out people for Haftorah to read from Nevi'im, we want to make sure that it doesn't look like the Haftorah is more important than the Torah. So a person who gets the Haftorah will also get a maftir to show what's most important is the Torah and secondarily is the Navi. What if a mistake was found before the first bracha on the maftir? So the Kitzur suggests it's best to bring out another Torah, and that's such a suggestion because one hasn't started yet. Mishnah Berurah says, if Kaddish was not said, the person call up for the seventh Aliyah can really simply do the Avtara, and you don't need to do a Maftir in this case as well. What if a mistake was found before starting, but there is no other Torah around? There's nothing you can bring back. So then the Kitzur says, a person who got the last Aliyah should do the Avtara, and if Kaddish was not said, it should be said after the Avtara as well. What if a mistake was found in a chaser or a yeser, which means an extra letter which does not change pronunciation or meaning? We noted that to be constituted a mistake in the Sefer Torah, it needs to be that there's a change in pronunciation in the writing, or a change of, in the way it's written, or a change of meaning. But let's say it is neither. So let's say there's an extra yud, an extra vav, an extra aleph, which don't change the meaning or the pronunciation of that word. In that case, what happens if such a mistake is found? So although we know that on during the weekday, a new Torah is not needed to be brought out, on Shabbos, there's an extra interesting addendum, and that is, you're not allowed to make hosafos. You're not allowed to make extra aliyahs on a Torah, which is not optimal. In this case, rather, what is best to do is just to do seven aliyahs, not to do a maftir, just you in this case, because you don't want to be calling this person up as well. The last person, the seventh aliyah, will be the person who gets the Torah as well. And the Kitzur suggests not bringing this Torah out again for Mincha. Another Torah should be brought out because it's not lechachila, it's not the best case scenario. What happens if it is Shabbos,
when two Torahs are brought out and a mistake is found in Torah number one. So in that case, it would be better to bring out a replacement for number one rather than using number two and enrolling it for number one, since the number two is already designated to be the Maftir. So bring out another Torah for number one and use number two as number two. What if we brought out two Sefer Torah and we put the wrong one on the Bima for the Parish, for the main reading? So in that case, just switch it. This is not a problem because let's say that the case was that one took the wrong Sefer Torah. There's only one Torah on Shabbos. And one took that wrong Sefer Torah out and it's the wrong place. In that case, you cannot put it back into the Aron because it would look like there's a defect in the Sefer Torah. You have to sit there and roll it. That's the halacha. But if one took out the two correct Sefer Torah, one just put the wrong one of them on the Bima, then switch them because there's no implication of a defect on the Sefer Torah for the simple reason that this that in this case, the both of them are in fact being used. The last topic we're going to touch on today is the notion of chiyuvim. Those are obligated to get an aliyah and the precedence of those chiyuvim. So let's just go through. The Kitzur makes a very brief list, which makes it helpful to know, especially for Gabayim, who are the people who are required to get an aliyah. Number one is a groom on the day of his marriage. So let's say a young man is getting married on a Monday and he's in shul on a Monday morning. He should get an aliyah. He's the first precedent. Number two is a groom on the Shabbos before his marriage. That's called an afruf. They say he's getting married sometime this week. That person should get an aliyah that Shabbos beforehand. Number three is a boy who became bar mitzvah just this last week. That boy should get an aliyah on the Torah that week. Number four is a sandek, the person who's going to hold the baby on the day of the bris milah. Number five is a kfater, the person who will bring the boy in to the bris milah, like is called a sandek who carries the boy in. Number six is a man whose wife returns to shul for the first time after Bram having childbirth. He needs to say Birkas HaGomel for her, or she needs to say Birkas HaGomel. And so an aliyah is required in such a situation. Number seven is a groom who just got married in the past week from Wednesday onwards. That what would be the Shabbat Chatan in Sephardic tradition. That person should get an aliyah as well. Then the eighth is a person who's got a Boba Yom Yoratzad. The Yoratzad for their parent is that day. Number nine is the father of a baby on the day of the Milah. And number 10 is a person who has a Yoratzad in the coming week. This is the most common situation, but it's actually pretty far down on the list of obligations, just to put that out there. And then there's an Emohel on the day of the Milah. And finally, if there's a Milah in the upcoming week, they're really the Sandek, the father, and the Emohel in that order should get aliyahs. That's the list of the basic list of responsible people to give a aliyah to. However, what happens if you have two equal level of chiyuvim? So you have only one aliyah open, and there are two people who have a Baba Yom Yoratzad. So either the Gabai should make a decision, or a lottery should be done. They just, flip a non-Shabbos coin to figure out who gets it. What about a visitor? So a visitor from out of town does not push aside a local chiyuv. A person who is a local chiyuv has the rights to that precedence because they live in the community, they pay the dues of that community. That is one of the benefits of being a member of a community. Whereas a person who's walking in, it is nice to offer them if there's nothing else. There's nothing else in the way, but the locals do get precedence in this respect as well. Are there any other things to take notice of? The answer is, of course, the Kitzur brings that a person who's going out for a journey, a person just returned for a journey, an important guest should get an aliyah. But there's many other things. There's anniversaries, there's birthdays. These are not chiyuvim. These are nice things, and sensitive gabayim and sensitive shuls will try to make sure that people are taken care of. But these are not the kind of things that should make people upset if they do not get it as well. And finally, last point is, what happens if aliyahs are sold? So you'll notice that in some places they will sell off or they will auction off the aliyahs. In that case, those are the people who buy them get the precedence as well. Although he points out that a bar mitzvah or a ofruf should obviously still get, even in a case where it's auction off. But because the money is going to charity, that would actually take precedence over the regular list of precedents, which is in the case of where there's an absence of giving it to charity. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.